that I had said to you that I want to discuss with you the similarities and the dissimilarities. We've already touched on many of them, but now particularly because related to those two ayats, Surah 25, ayat 7 and 20. That was my homework for you. If you all have looked at it, that's good. If not, then you should listen now that in Surah Furqan 25, in ayat number 7, God says that people are saying, what is the matter with this messenger that he eats food and walks in the markets? Why is not an angel sent down unto him to be a warner with him? Or why is not a treasure thrown down unto him? Yeah. This is the next ayat. And then in the same chapter, ayat number 20, Allah says, we never sent before you any messengers, but indeed they ate food and walked in the markets. And we have appointed some of you a test for others. Will you be steadfast? And Allah, your Lord, is ever seeing. He is aware of everything. So here in one chapter of the Quran, we are told about this perennial question, continuing question. This question has started from the time of Hazrat Adam. People simply cannot understand that this religious leader, the supreme religious leader, can be in a human body. We are all familiar with the story of Hazrat Adam, that Iblis objected. He said he would not prostrate to Adam because he was made of clay, that he was a human being. I shall not. Even the God had said prostrate to Adam. Allah had not said prostrate to me. He had said prostrate to Adam. And he was not asking. This is where our intellect has to come into force, into operation. Allah did not ask people to bow or prostrate to the clay or the body of Adam. He had asked people to bow or obey or prostrate to the Ruhul Qudus, the divine spirit which God had breathed into us as Adam, and to bow to the knowledge, all the knowledge which God had given to Hazrat Adam. But this is something which is forgotten by people. And throughout history, that has been a major problem, because people simply cannot use their intellect, study nature. For instance, if you study nature, you can see that there is soul everywhere. Maulana Sultan Mashaa tells us in his memoirs, there's a whole paragraph about soul, that every particle, every molecule has a soul. And this soul has its own special relationship with the all-powerful soul of God. But men and women are more highly advanced. And among them, some have really progressed to the highest possible planes of the human soul and higher. Read that paragraph in the memoirs. It's a very important paragraph, again and again. And we have put this paragraph in the front of the book, What is Soul, which you can get from our website. 100 questions on what is soul. And if you read this book, you will realize that minerals, meaning stones, rocks, sand, dust, earth, etc., that has a very, very embryonic soul. But there is soul in there. But the next level is the vegetative soul. The vegetative soul has the power of growth, which distinguishes it from the mineral soul, which does not have that. Then above the vegetative soul is the animal soul. The animal soul has not only the power of growing, but it has a power of movement. It has a power of certain feelings, basic feelings. If you kick a dog or a cat, they will not like it. So they have feelings. And they have some sort of sound as well. But above the animal soul, and you know, we are part of the animal kingdom, human beings, but the human beings are distinguished from the rest of the animals by the fact that we have the rational soul, that we have the intellect. So we don't only grow, we don't only have movement, we don't have very, very, very sharp senses, but we have an intellect. And this intellect gives us speech, coherent speech. It gives us the ability to plan, to think, to reflect, to understand. So we, although in many ways we are like animals, as you know, Maulana Sultan Hoxha used to say that janwar pan khai che, piye che, ane bachcha paida kare che. Animals too eat, drink, and procreate. So what is the difference between you and them? That we are different from the animals by the power of the intellect. We have been gifted this intellect by God Himself. And that gives us this power over the rest of the animal kingdom. We can capture animals, train them, do everything to them because we have this intellect. So why would it surprise us that amongst us human beings, there is one, just like the human species is the only one which has intellect, in the same way, amongst us, there is one who has the universal intellect, the Imam of the time. But no, people are always, always led astray by the fact that he is in a human body. And because he's in a human body, we think he's like us. So why should we obey him? He's absolutely like us. He eats, he drinks. You know, Jamaat has many, you know, very loving stories about how Hazrat Imam likes chicken samosa and how he loves lapsi, etc. Yeah? But the point is, we should not be led astray by such comments. They are made in a loving way. That's fine. But that is because, like the like Allah says in this ayah, we are testing you by some others. We are being tested by Allah. That are we going to be trapped by the humanity of the Imam? Or are we going to rise above that and to understand what his haqiqat is and try to recognize that divine spirit, the Nur, and try to recognize that he is Aqle Kul and he has all knowledge. So for this, I have chosen to share with you the Masnavi of Maulana Rumi. Maulana Rumi is very popular everywhere. So let us make use of the good things which he has said, very good things. And these verses are from verses 250 to 280. Verses 250, so that's volume 1. And I have it here in front of me. And this passage, I've not given you the whole passage, but I've given you a majority of it, 250 to 280, 30 verses. And in these 30 verses, the title is The Story of the Green Grocer and the Parrot. And the parrot spilling the oil in the shop. I don't know if you have any of you heard this story, but I will tell you this story because, you know, Rumi is a master of storytelling as well. And his stories really shake you because, you know, in a minute you'll realize what I mean by that. So Maulana Rumi says that there was this greengrocer and he had many, many precious oils in his shop. Olive oil and this oil and all sorts of oil. One of them, the highest, the best, was a bottle of rose oil. And in this green grocery, he had a parrot, a pet. And this parrot was able to speak, as parrots do. They imitate human beings. And this parrot used to attract a lot of customers by his sweet speech. And they used to come flooding into the shop, and the gringos had very good business. But one day, the parrot flew awkwardly, and he knocked down this most precious rose oil bottle. And the greengrocer lost his temper, and he hit him on the head with a very heavy instrument. And all the feathers on the head of the parrot, they fell off, and he became bald, hairless, featherless. And at the same time, the parrot absolutely shut up. He would not say anything. He became sad. And he didn't say anything at all. And so the customers stopped coming to the shop as well. And the poor greengrocer was very, very upset. And he really repented what he had done. However, one day, a darwish, you know, somebody who's not worldly, he passed by the, he was one of these not so authentic Sufis, I suppose. He was dressed in his gown of wool, and he had a bald head completely. So when he passed near the shop, the parrot suddenly came to life. And he said to the bald man, he said, "Oh, bald man, did you also spill a bottle of oil?" And there were some bystanders, and they all started laughing that here was this parrot who was equating himself to a human being. And then Maulana Ali says, "Jumla alam zin sabab gumrahashu, kam kasi zabdali hak agahushu." He says, the whole world has gone astray because they have considered the servants of God, Abdal. Who are the servants of God with a capital S? They are the prophets and the awliya, the imams. He says, the whole world has gone astray because they consider the prophets and imams to be like themselves, human beings. Like the poor parrot thought that this man, because he was bald, must have also broken a bottle of oil. And then Maulana Rumi gives some wonderful examples from nature. Wonderful, absolutely amazing. Of things which look alike. So he starts with a bee and a wasp or a hornet. He says, the bee and the hornet look alike. They're coloring, they're flying, they're shape, size. They are almost alike. But he says, look at their essence. The bee produces honey, which has medicinal properties. But the hornet, the wasp, produces poison. What a difference between honey and poison. And then he gives the example of two bits of vegetation. They look completely alike. Two canes, bamboo and sugarcane. They look completely alike, but the bamboo is hollow. Human beings make flutes and musical instruments from them. But the sugarcane is full of the essence of sugar. Can you compare sugar and nothing? Hollowness? No. And then he gives the example of two types of deer. They are both species of deer. And they both eat and drink from the same water pond and the same grass in the jungle. But this one produces excreta. And this one produces musk. You know, musk. Musk is the foundation of all perfume in the world. Can you compare musk with excreta? Excreta? No. And then one more example, a glass of water from this water, source of water, and a glass of water from here. They both look alike completely. But if you drink this water, it's sweet, lovely. But if you drink this water, you will vomit. because it is salty, but they look alike. And he says, all these are lookalikes. And so human beings, ordinary human beings, and prophets and imams, they look alike. But there is as much difference between them as there is between honey and poison, excreta and musk, nothing and sugar essence. And what was the other one? Beer. Yes, and water, yes, sweet water and brackish or salty water. You can't compare. And when you try to do that, that's when you fall into the pit, you fall into the trap, you fail in the test which God has set for us, that he has always sent prophets and imams who are, who eat and who walk in the markets. Why has he done that? Because they have to communicate with other human beings. So they must have some similarity with those human beings. The human beings should be able to understand them. If God had sent an angel, would we be able to see that angel? Would the angel be able to communicate with everybody? No. The answer is that we always have to be very, very careful how we approach this understanding of prophets and imams. We have to always remind ourselves that they possess the divine spirit, the Ruhul Qudus, the spirit of God which he breathed into them, and he also gave them the ilme laduni or the ilme atai, which we do not have. And it is, we look to the imam, you know, the constitution of the preamble. The preamble of the constitution, rather, also tells you that the imam's ta'lim lights the murid's path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. All right, I think I've said all that I wish to say, alhamdulillah, and now there's some time for questions and answers. Before we go to that, yeah, one more thing I could have said is that after giving Maulana Rumi as an example, I would also like, because you know, I know from the people who attend that the majority are from the Indian tradition, then go to the Gidan of Pir Sadruddin, Eji Tuhi Gur Tuhi Nar Tuhi Biasha. In it, there is a verse 4 in which Pir Mabab says, Eji Ek Fikar Munivar Tamari Che Amne, Manas Rupe Sahib Jano. Oh, Bhaiji. See, Pir Sadruddin also warned the Jamaat in his Ginaz that we are anxious, we are worried on one account that you might only think that Sahib, the Imam, is a man like you and me. He is not there. Thank you.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Someone has shared all 7 discourse or the 7 points in the discourse Wajah-e-Deen number 36. As you were speaking, he had typed and he had shared with everyone, and he has also provided a PDF of that. So if anyone like to get a PDF, please get with the Kamre Sahib and he will share with you. Thank you for the hard work. Rashia Sahiba, I believe this is one of the best detailed session thus far. I have no words. I'm just speechless. Thank you so much for your time and so much research into these things and bringing all the great references from the Quran, from the Masnavi, from the Wajah-e-Deen, and from the Ginan and other sources. So much. Thank you so much. So let's open the floor for questioning. Kamre Sahib, do we have any question? In our WhatsApp group, I see one question. Could you explain the point number? I think about the jihad, the Imam does the jihad.
Yes.
Please.
Yes, jihad, first of all, whoever has questions, I hope you have attended the Seven Pillars series. If not, I think you should really acquire those sessions and study them. And you will realize that jihad has more than one meaning. In those sessions, I had used a quotation from an interview which the Imam did with the Lebanese television in French at the time of his visit to Aleppo in Syria. And in this answer, the Imam clearly specified that yes, there is the jihad e Asgar, the smaller jihad in which the Holy Prophet had to defend Islam, and he had to undergo or take part in physical battles or wars or raids, whatever. And then there is the other jihad, the jihad e Akbar, which is the struggle against one's own carnal soul, animal soul. And the Imam had made a great distinction, and just like the Prophet himself, that these physical wars are here now and then they disappear, just as today we have a very peaceful time in history. But the jihad e Akbar, the greater jihad, is a permanent thing. As long as a human being lives, he or she has to struggle against their carnal instincts, against their animal instincts. All right? So this jihad, whether it is the physical one in the time of the Prophet Maulana Ali, and I gave the example that even Maulana Aga Hassan Ali Shah supported the British, right? Keeping in mind his Jamaat in India and their safety and their protection and their freedom of worship. So those things are historical. They are accidental. They happen and then they go away. But the jihad e Akbar continues. And it is the Imam's guidance which helps mu'mins to do this jihad, this righteous war, this struggle, this striving against their lower animal instincts. And the Imam is the head of that, whether it is a physical jihad or whether it is the batini jihad.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Thank you. So this question that someone had asked in one of our previous session, but he'd like to, I guess he needed one more time explanation. Why Imam has to be a man? Can a woman be a Imam?
You know, I do hope that members who attend these sessions will make a real effort to listen to and read Maulana Hazrat Imam's own statements and his in interviews, you know, the preamble of the Constitution. The one which comes to my mind very clearly is the Golden Jubilee interview that Imam gave to the Portuguese television. And he was asked this question, he has been asked this question many, many times, okay? And Imam has always said that this position of Imam can only be in the direct descent. Yes, if it was a woman, the woman would not be a direct descent. She would marry a third party and so on, and it would go further and further away from this family. So it has to be a male that gives that is in this office. There are esoteric reasons, but I don't really know my audience, so I do not wish to go into the esoteric reason now, maybe at a future date. But this Zuriyatan Bazuha Min Baz, they are offspring one of another, has to be in the male line, okay? But I do advise you, I do strongly encourage you to read the Imam's own answers and not third-hand answers from others. Yeah.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do we have any more question, Kamri Sahib, Devin Sahiba?
No, sir. I don't see any questions in the chat.
I have a question.
This
if you
is
can
a bit
hear
worrying.
Me.
For me, it is a bit worrying that there are no questions on such important topics. Yeah.
I have a question. If you can hear me.
We have one question, Rashida Sahiba. Go ahead, sir.
Rashida Sahiba. I'm sorry, I haven't attended your sessions, and today I just happened accidentally to wake. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning here in the West Coast. I just happened to wake up and I saw that you were on. So thank you so much. Just one question: the difference between prophet and imam. Did you say that both have divinity? Because in the Quran, I think it says that Allah says, "You are but a messenger to the Prophet."
Yes, yes. Let me just go to that chapter, okay? And I will share that with you.
Thank you.
This is chapter 18, okay? Of the Holy Quran, it's called the cave, and it is a very last verse, 110. Okay, and in it, God says to the Prophet, "Kul, say, I am only a mortal like you. My Lord inspires in me." You see that? That yes.
Yes.
Where the body is concerned, the imam is a mortal like us. But when it comes to divinity, uluhiyat as it is called, when it is related to the Ruhul Qudus and the knowledge of God, then the imam and the prophet receive this directly from God. Us ordinary human beings do not have direct access to Allah. So you see what the normally people do is they read the first part, I'm only a mortal like you, right? I'm only a mortal like you. Yes, he is that, but is not, there is no, what shall we say, the story doesn't finish there. The second sentence is, my Lord inspires me, my Lord reveals to me. So when it comes to receiving wahi and communication from the divine, that's where the prophets and imams are superior to us.
Yes, okay. So what is the difference between a prophet and an imam then?
Okay, the prophet and imam are, they have the same nur, the same spirit, the same knowledge, but their functions are different. Their functions. The prophets bring scripture, they bring revelations, the tanzil, the exoteric of the Quran, and they establish a law. And the imams, they give the ta'wil or the inner meaning of the Quran. But the nur is the same. And then additionally, as you have seen, that after the six great prophets, during whose time there were 124,000 other minor prophets, that the office of prophecy or prophethood, Nubuwa, comes to an end, but imamat continues. Yes, what I would suggest, Azim, is that you might like to, go back to these sessions which have been done and try to acquire the previous knowledge so that things can be built upon, right? As you said yourself, that this is the first time you have come to this session, yeah? So there's a lot of ground to cover, but let me assure you that all questions have an answer in the Ismaili Tariqah. Why? Because we have the Imam of the time. I may not be able to answer that, right? But somebody else will be able to answer it. And if they can't answer it, we can always turn to the Imam in the end. So there's no question here that cannot be answered.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. May Mullah bless you. Thank you.
Amen. And may he bless you.
For,
Nanimata, how are you? I had a question for you, Rashida. If when we go out and step on the grass, and you said the nature has a soul, how does the grass benefit when we step on the grass with bare feet? How does that benefit, or how do we connect with the souls of the environment?
Yes, it's an interesting question you are asking. This understanding that is in the chapter of Maulana Sultan Shah, if you study his description of mono-reality, that everything in creation is a manifestation of God, yeah? So yes. We are all part of this manifestation, but we are on different levels, on different ranks, okay? And then the Quran also tells us that God has created creation for the sake of the use of human beings, not to abuse that, right? But to use it. So human beings need all these cereals that are a type of grass. We need to eat those, right? But we are not supposed to abuse our the nature that is around us. Because we are the custodians. God has made us, because he's given us intellect, we should also be looking after nature. Because, you know, human beings in some parts of the world, for instance, today, the news, main news here in Britain is that because of the internecine war within Ethiopia, the government against some rebels, etc., they have been burning crops and this, that, and the other, and now they are facing famine. This type of behavior from human beings, inshallah, has to stop sometime, because they are harming nature. We, by our use, our extensive use of plastic, etc., we are harming nature, right? There are many things, by our use of fuel fired motor cars, etc., you know, we are harming nature. So in every way, human beings need to go more towards natural living and moderation, and that way we can connect with nature, and we can also realize that we are the trustees. This is an amanat, it's a trust, and we should look after it.
Thank you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Do we have any more question? At the end, we do have one question, but I believe this is a little bit outside this scope of today's lecture, but I'll go ahead and ask if you'd like to answer. Imam Hunayd before Adam, Imam Shish after Adam, and Adam himself, are they from one nafs?
This, I will, you've left me, you've given me the choice to answer this question. Actually, I find these type of questions difficult in the sense that the audience is not on the same level of search and research and understanding. When you just heard one questioner said that this is the first time he's ever attended our session. So I would say to the questioner, that please ask questions which will help to enlighten the majority of people who are online and not confuse them, okay? So I would really request that. And since there are no more questions, I would like to give the homework for next time. I've already sent it to Aziz Bhai. And these are Quranic ayats which establish the concept of wasila, intermediary. Yes, because that is our next topic. And there are verses which are directly and indirectly. So I've sent you a long list, but I would request people to particularly look at the ayahs regarding prostration, obedience, holding to Allah, guidance, salawat, purification, forgiveness, love for God, allegiance, and teaching. If you can't look at all of them, please look at the ones which I have highlighted to you. And that way, I think that we can all try and progress together in our level of knowledge, okay?
Thank you, Rishi Sahib. Kamriya Sahib has just shared the PDF of the homework for the next week, which was provided to us by Rashida Sahib earlier. It has been shared in our WhatsApp group. If you are not in the WhatsApp group, please share your number with Kamriya Sahib or Nachis, and we will add you to it, and we will share the PDF of the homework with you or any other lectures previously delivered by Rashida Sahib with you, or any other question you may have later on. We can send to Rashida Sahib on your behalf. Thank you everybody for joining us this morning. I know it's a little bit early in the West Coast, but this is the best time because we can have our audience from London, which is 6 hours ahead of us, and from Karachi, which is 10 hours ahead of us, and India. So thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Rashida Sahib, for your time and knowledge. We appreciate it. See you next week.
Inshallah, and I want to, because in all the flashes of messages, I haven't seen anybody share the Masnavi of Maulana Rumi, but I strongly recommend that people should go to volume one of his Masnavi, the translation, and read up what Maulana Rumi says about us, ordinary human beings, and the prophets and imams. Very important, right? Very important indeed, so that it will remind you each time you are going to make a mistake about the imam, that Maulana Rumi will be a good reminder not to make that mistake. Okay?
Rashid Sahib, Navin Sahib has shared the two copies of Masnavi on the chat and in our WhatsApp group as well. So Masnavi is available to anyone who would like to have a PDF. There is a link in this chat, and if not, we can share this on privately with you on your WhatsApp group. Thank you again, Rishi Sahib. Thank you, Navin Sahib, for your help. Thank you, Kamriya Sahib, as always, for your help. And inshallah, we'll see you next week. Great session. Thank you.
Inshallah. May Mola be with all of you and keep you all in his divine protection.
Amen.
Yali Mother, Yali Mother, Yali Mother.